Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Chris Kaufman is here. Simon Clancy is not here. He's dealing with a personal matter. As always, this show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Use promo code 5, F-I-V-E. You deposit $100. It's a one-time rollover, which means that they give you $100. It's free. Take it, which means you bet it through once, you get it right back. So it's like a free $100 bet. Take it. F-I-V-E. And of course, BetterEdge.com. Go to BetterEdge.com/5 reasons. You get $25 just for signing up. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Wouldn't it surprise you that our head coach, Mike McDaniel, found out about the Jalen Ramsey trade while he was on a floaty celebrating his 40th birthday?
I think it's about the most on-brand thing I can even think of from Mike McDaniel.
Yeah. Do you think he was partaking in alcoholic beverages or maybe something else while he was on the
floaty? No, I doubt that. You know, considering his history and you know what he's gone through to get that under control, I'm sure he's probably not doing that, but yeah,
he had all his college buddies in the pool. He's in the floaty, And they're negotiating a deal for Jalen Ramsey, and then he's bitching about not having a first round pick. And Chris Greer responds, "I've given you 3 first round picks. They're called Tyreek Hill, Bradley Chubb, and Jalen Ramsey. That's pretty good, right?"
Yeah, not bad. Although the Jalen Ramsey, let's be honest, like you traded, like we're not just going to suddenly make that a first round pick. Like they traded a third for him.
Yeah, it's a fabulous third round pick.
Oh no, it's a fabulous third round pick. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, like you know, we're kind of playing with things now. If we're like, oh yeah, that's like a first round pick. Well, no, I mean, other teams weren't giving him first round pick for him.
Yeah,
so.
I like that Chris Greer tried to get Les Snead to throw in a late round pick.
Yeah, that was. I honestly, that's almost like to me, that's almost like a bad look. You know, don't be that GM that does that. You know what I mean? Like you agreed on something, and then the very last minute, yeah, no, we're gonna have to ask for this little extra. I'm sorry.
We lived in a different world than we did 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Right. Like, seriously, don't be that guy.
Chris Greer is absolutely the guy that's impossible to deal with in a fantasy league.
Yeah, he will 100% stick to the high asking price.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of my negotiation for Tua Tagovailoa like in week 4 this year. You know, I'm trying to sell that, hey, he has a concussion. He's not playing for a couple of weeks, you know? And I'm looking at your team. You don't need him. So how about I give you this? And the guy's like, no, How about DeAndre Hopkins? And I'm like, no, you're not listening. We're not in the same planet here, okay? Mm-hmm. You understand?
We're living in the same world.
Yeah. This is obviously – Chris Greer is obviously that guy in the fantasy league, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I think by now
we're – you look at his roster and you're like, you know what? Damien Harris might be nice. But then you remember, oh, it's that guy. Well, I'm not even called.
Yeah.
Like, there's no sense in this, right? So I didn't get your take on the Jalen Ramsey trade because you were out last week. Your thoughts. I think this is Chris Greer's finest work besides, obviously, the Larry Metunsil haul, right?
I thought we did talk about the Jalen Ramsey trade.
We did not.
Well, I you know, it's pretty clear, I think, that in the off season they I was just talking about this today. You know, they had an offense that at various points in the year they felt really good about. I think there are other points of the year where they are not good, and so there are, you know, I think there are improvements to be made, which is important, but felt like they were happy with how the offense was, and you know, when they're firing on all cylinders, and that the defense was the big disappointment of the year. And so what have they done in the offseason? Well, they fired the defensive coordinator, hired a big name guy, and then, you know, what I kind of appreciate this is, like, they could have just taken the stance that, you know, hey, the problem was coaching, not the roster. You know, we're going to give you largely the same players, you know, go coach them better. And that, you know, that in other years, I think we've seen that here in Miami. I think we've seen that in other teams. But they didn't. They said the defense was a problem all the way around. We're not going to assume that everything that was here will be fine in the new defense. And, you know, we're going to shake out who doesn't belong and find new guys who do and stuff like that. They went and did personnel work on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've largely seen so far in this free agency period is the additions of Jalen Ramsey, David Long, you know, adding Malik Reed as a pass rusher, adding Deshaun Elliott as a safety. It's just all the way around they're doing work on that defense, revamping the personnel, and I think that's a nice bonus because, you know, it does feel like they might have otherwise just been like, you know, hey, we have the personnel here for you. You just need mm-hmm. to coach them better than the last guy did.
Yeah.
You know? So at one point, you're looking at it and you're like, you know, how pissed off is Josh Boyer right now?
Yeah. Yeah, you stuck me with the rotting cadaver of Byron Jones never getting onto the field, and the next guy gets Jalen Ramsey.
Well, no, he's like, you stuck me with Byron Jones, parentheses, not pictured.
Yes.
And then the ghost of Xavien Howard. and you know, a Landon Roberts and, you know, all this stuff. And now you give the next guy, I mean, and no safety. I mean, he had to deal with Eric Rowe and no safety behind Brandon Jones. And, you know, and so you give him all that. And then you give the next guy who is, you know, great, almost Hall of Fame caliber, you'd say almost Hall of Fame caliber assistant coach.
Hmm.
Oh yeah, by the way, let's give him like all these toys that you didn't give me. It's like, fuck.
Yeah. Well, he got good severance pay. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, he's doing fine. You know, don't cry for him. But
yeah, these are good jobs.
But he won. I honestly do believe this. I think a lot of fans were, you know, really out on him, really out on Josh Boyer, and I honestly do believe that this was not a firing with any sort of prejudice. I don't think, you know, I don't think they're going to shit all over him necessarily. I think it was just a matter of, you know, hey, the personnel is changing on the defense. Let's get a defensive system that makes a little bit more sense for how the personnel is kind of takes on a life of its own, because, you know, some players pan out and other players don't. You can't always plan which, you know, plan where that's going to happen. What positions that's going to happen to, and, you know, stuff like that. You can't always plan what's actually available to you, because a lot of people are just like, hey, let's just go shopping for this. And it's like, well, that guy doesn't actually want to be with you.
Yeah.
Like, and so the availabilities and the way the personnel shaped up pointed in a certain direction. They went and got a defensive system and coach that that could coach them in that direction. I think that's what happened with the defensive coordinator. But still, if you're Josh Boyer right now and you're looking at the additions of Jalen Ramsey and Deshaun Elliott and David Long and all that, then you're probably like, well, you know, fuck you very much.
Now, on the defensive side of the ball, you know, these are not wholesale changes, but you know, this is a pretty vast remodeling, okay? Because you're adding two starters and you're adding another, a third guy that's going to get a lot of snaps in Deshaun Elliott. First, your thoughts on David Long. I love him as a player, but there's a reason we got him for 2 years, $11 million, and that's because it's a scratch and dent sale. Okay.
Yeah. But about that, I mean, I thought that David Long had himself had a great tweet.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I forget exactly what he said, but he was like, they make it seem like I've got like two torn ACLs or something.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, it's not that bad, man. You know, like, it's, yeah, he's missed a little bit of time, but it's not that bad, and he's been a good player. I mean, so first off, I think that Simon would agree on this, that that this was probably the best linebacker that Miami could have signed for this system.
Mm-hmm.
He was the best fit, and I include everybody in that. I'm going to include Tremaine Edmonds there, you know, even though he was the bigger name and the bigger payday. But I think that this is the best linebacker they could have signed. They needed a real Mike to me. They needed a real green dot type of player, with a Mike mentality and, you know, a well-rounded player. I know that some people are saying that, you know, real emphasis on his linebackers being able to cover the pass. I don't necessarily know that that's actually true. I actually kind of think of the emphasis of a Vic Fangio defense being quite opposite. Like, he needs real linebackers with real linebacker instincts who can stop the run, because mm-hmm. they're always going to be operating with light boxes. Or not always, but I mean, they're going to have a lot of light boxes, in there, and they need to be able to stop the run, even though they have a light box. That means that you need some real linebackers. You need some real guys with genuine instincts and eyes and everything like that. I think he needs those more than he needs, like, I think of like coverage specialists, you know, like, Jerome Baker could, in another world, could be considered like a coverage specialist because of his speed. Mm-hmm. You know, there's coverage linebackers out there. I don't think, I mean, Channing Tindall's probably going to be a coverage linebacker specialist, and yet I don't think there's a place really in this defense right as of right now for Channing Tindall. So I don't think this defense is like that. Actually, I think this defense needs guys like David Long, who can do what he can do against the run. It's just a nice bonus what he does against the pass too.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some tape.
He's a good cover dude.
Yeah. There's some tape on him that is just eye popping, and it's, you know, it's reminiscent of some of Jerome Baker's tape from like a couple of years ago. Okay.
Yep.
You know, these are guys that can, you know, David Long can do everything that you can ask of a linebacker in this system, and Landon Roberts couldn't. And Landon Roberts could do one or two things. And to be honest with you, I've never seen him do the other. I've always seen him fill. I've never seen him scrape. I've never seen him read two gaps. David Long, it's in every single one of his games. You see him doing all of it. And that's a good thing to have, especially when you already had another linebacker in Jerome Baker that you were asking to do so much. Now you have a guy that's already done that. And now you have two of them? Yeah, sign me up. You know? I think it's a home run signing. It's my favorite signing, you know, of all the signings. It's the one that I have no problem with whatsoever.
Yeah, it's a really nice signing overall. I think that you're right. You have the right of it. It's a great signing. I think that there's more to be had than a lot of people are assuming with Jerome Baker in this defense. I think it was a question. It is a valid question mark to ask the question, you know, how well does Jerome Baker fit with what Vic Fangio wants to do with his linebackers? But don't be surprised if that question, the answer to that question comes back, you know, two thumbs up. Like, you know, don't be surprised that that's the case, because Jerome Baker, you know, does a lot of things well that will be of use in this defense, and not just in pass coverage or anything like that. Like, attacking the line of scrimmage is a specialty of his, and his speed really caps off the potential for big plays once you get into that second level, because he can influence them with his speed.
Mm-hmm. All right, now moving on. Did it surprise you that they settled on Mike White and they settled on him so fast that I'm told that it was like a foregone conclusion this was the guy they were going to go after? Did that surprise you any bit? It surprised me, because I was expecting something different at the position. So,
well, I mean, depends on when you were to talk to us. If you were to talk to us immediately after the season ended, then every single one of us were of the mindset, you know, the Dolphins need to grab a guy that has a lot of starting experience and that we can trust to win a playoff game, maybe even play the entire season. You know, that we all would have been there, you know. And I was there with Jimmy Garoppolo. I just underestimated how much of an impact, you know, certain developments had, including like Tom Brady's retirement and just the way the numbers match game was working out with supply and demand at the quarterback position, to the point where even Jimmy Garoppolo got paid like a starter.
Yes.
And I think it's just insane. I think it's just insane to sit, you know, to plug your ears and cover your eyes and pretend that this guy has not had trouble his entire career, even staying healthy for half a season, let alone a full season, you know?
Good news is that we don't play the Raiders, so we've ended three of his seasons.
Well, I mean, it's a good news for Jimmy Garoppolo, because we always injure him. So
yeah, we've ended three of his seasons. That's a real stat, ladies and gentlemen.
That is a real thing. So yeah, I think that's insane. But once you consider the numbers game that fed into that, you know, it's like, well, of course. You know, what I think is interesting, that if you look at, say, a contract like Taylor Heineke's contract, which was, you know, fairly competitive with what we got in Mike White, I think at that point I would have looked at Taylor Heineke and the way that he plays the game and said, that's a really good fit. That's a really good match for how our offense works under Tua Tagovailoa. Like, he is used to already throwing the ball to very fast, but also kind of small receivers. You know, that's what he was doing in Washington. You know, he's throwing a lot of up and down balls. He's throwing a lot of timing based passes. He's throwing to spots and letting speedy receivers run to it. I'd have thought Taylor Heineke would be a good fit just from a stylistic standpoint, not necessarily actually knowing the offense, but the difference is that Mike White actually does know the offense, because he's been under Mike LaFleur for a couple of years. So, you know, that's where Mike McDaniel, I'm sure, weighed in heavily and said, you know, hey, this guy already knows the offense. And by the way, Mike LaFleur just went off to the NFC. Mm-hmm. And so he probably doesn't, you know, give a shit about keeping his mouth shut anymore. So, you know, like he may have been on a floaty with Mike McDaniel while McDaniel found out about the Jalen Ramsey trade. I mean, they're tight. Right.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm sure that LaFleur's input was given and was quite candid about what Mike White meant in the quarterback room. And what I've just noticed is that the fans and his teammates all love him.
Yes.
They just seem to all love him. You know?
Yeah. Guys gravitate toward him. And they did in New York. They made t-shirts. They made t-shirts of his name.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah. Well, this is a sore spot, but you know, because today it seems like the Miami Dolphins lost one of the greatest wide receivers to ever play the game.
Yep.
And Trent Sherfield. You know, it's Jerry Rice, it's Megatron, it's Trent Sherfield.
Yeah.
Okay. So this was a pretty big blow, but out goes Trent Sherfield, a good football player. By all means, look, he's a really good football player, he's a good blocker.
He's good.
But I said it on OnlyFans the other day, like if the first thing that comes out of your mind is like he's a really good blocker, then you really got to start evaluating what you're thinking about when you talk about wide receivers. You know what I mean?
Well,
nobody ever signed a wide receiver because he's a good blocker.
You know, and that's exactly it. I mean, you're going to look at this. So first off, let's keep something in mind. The Dolphins replaced Trent Sherfield before Trent Sherfield signed anywhere else. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He said it himself. He said that he went into this offseason thinking, I'm going to be back with the Dolphins. And then that door, you know, quote unquote, closed. Why did it close? Because they gave $3.5 million to Braxton Berrios.
Yeah.
You know, so they closed the door on Trent Sherfield before he closed the door on them. And so that's why he had to consider the alternatives after that. And so he had to switch gears. And I'm sure he didn't really necessarily want to choose a new team. But so they made the decision that it's okay to lose Trent Sherfield. They made the decision that it's okay to lose Mike Gesicki, who signed with a very, attractive to me contract. I mean, it's worth up to $9 million, but I think like only half of it is base and the other half is incentives. And that's great. I'd take that for
Bill Belichick is going to look at his, that 5-8 record at some point in the season is going to say, yeah, Mike Gesicki is not getting that other $4.5 million from us.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's going to happen. So,
yeah.
They said, we don't want these guys back. We're going in a different direction. And mm-hmm. It's not a matter of, oh, we didn't have the money or, oh, because we got to pay this much money elsewhere. No, it's not real. They're choosing to go in a different direction. And I keep going back to it. I keep looking at it as, okay, we had a wide receiver whose specialty is blocking and a tight end whose specialty is being a wide receiver.
Yeah.
And so I think what they've done is they've said, we're going to rationalize that a little bit. And we're going to get a wide receiver whose specialty is being a wide receiver. And we're going to get a tight end whose specialty is being a tight end. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you see the additions of Braxton Berrios, who is a true slot receiver. He is a guy. He is a speedy guy, accelerates 0 to 60 at the crack of a whip and is able to do things in the return game, like run after catch specialist. You know, that's what you're looking at with Braxton Berrios. It's a very rational decision as a wide receiver three, as a slot, you know, and Trent Sherfield took the most snaps. You know, he had the highest percentage of slot snaps of all the wide receivers. So it's very normal, you know, grab for a Braxton Berrios, as opposed to unorthodox with Trent Sherfield as that guy. So they went from unorthodox to much more orthodox. is what they're doing with Trent Sherfield and Mike Gesicki out versus Braxton Berrios and Eric Saubert in. That's how you think of it. And I think that you look at the production from wide receiver three from Trent Sherfield in the passing game, and now that they've done this, you got to look at it a different way and be like, you know, they probably weren't very happy with this.
Yeah.
You know, because he had fewer yards than he did, you know, pass snaps. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. That's very not good. You know, you stack that up league wise. And you could say, well, you know, it's just a matter of whether he gets the ball thrown to him. It's like, well, yeah. But he got the ball. We're talking about such a small sample size that if you just take away the one play he had, the big 75 yarder, then we're talking about a guy who was averaging 7.0 yards per target, which isn't good.
No, that's bottom of the league.
We're talking about a guy who was averaging 2.8 yards after the catch per reception, 2.8. Not good. That's like, you know, that's Devontae Parker like. Which, by the way, in the 4 years prior, 2018, 19, 20, 21, he averaged 2.9. So, I mean, it's his normal, but it was not good. And 0.8 yards per route or per pass snap. All of those figures are bad for the guy that's getting like 400 plus, you know, pass snaps as your wide receiver three in your base offense. Your base offense is 11 personnel, three wide receiver, and he's in it.
Yeah, and when you
that's bad production.
Yeah, and when you signed the contract that you signed with Cedric Wilson, you bought that tape.
Yeah.
It's time to see that tape on the field, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, like, I think in the end, what it comes off, Alf, it comes off like they used him. You know? They knew what he was going to bring to the table in terms of fight. You know, there's some good articles and about his history and how he's, you know, been in other situations where he's definitely outperformed, like in Arizona, where he's definitely outperformed people or wide receivers that were much more pedigreed than him. And he felt like that happened again in San Francisco under Kyle Shanahan. He said that Mike McDaniel promised that wasn't going to happen in Miami, that if you're the best man for the job, you're going to play. And you know what? He made good on that promise. He really made good on that promise. Mm-hmm. But Mike McDaniel knew what he was going to get that way from a competing standpoint in practice, in that drive and doing the little things and working extra hard and stuff like that. I wonder if he didn't use Trent Sherfield, who walked in with advantages that other receivers in the room did not have in terms of knowing the system already. I wonder if he just used it to install a system for a year. And now that's done because they've been around and the rest of the wide receiver room have been in the system now for a year. And so Trent Sherfield doesn't have that advantage over them anymore because they all know the system now. And so I wonder if he kind of used him for that first year to help him install the system. And now he's like, okay, thanks. Have fun in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And that's the business side of it. And it sucks. But
can you imagine Trent Sherfield when he gets that first check and he looks at it and he's like, wait, what?
Yeah. Well, I mean, It's going to be interesting. I'm scared of what he could do against us, you know, having the revenge game.
Yeah,
because you know, Josh Allen's damn good quarterback. Damn good quarterbacks tend to be able to like.
Can I tell you something? Once I
help out with that revenge game.
Yeah. Well, once I have Javon Holland, Jalen Ramsey, Xavier Howard, I don't give a crap about what the hell. What revenge game anybody else has. Okay.
Well, yeah.
We kind of bought some peace of mind.
Josh Allen is still Josh Allen. Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers, you know.
Yeah.
Speaking of Josh Allen,
we're gonna have to get after the quarterback. And this is a sneaky signing. I got a little notification. You know, I was actually at the hospital. looking over my father, and my little phone pinged. My phone pinged, and I hear and I see Dolphins sign Malik Reed. And I'm like, my God, was that predictable or what? Like, that's Vic Fangio making phone calls like on a Sunday. Like, hey, did you get my guy yet?
He did say he'd be vocal.
Yeah, you said this is foreboding for Melvin Ingram. I doubt that. I think this is a problem for Andrew Van Ginkle.
I mean, it could be either, but I think of it's just what you think of the guy as being. And Malik Reed, I go back to all the way to college. When I was looking at him, he is to me, he is like a very purist outside speed rush specialist, you know? And I remember watching him with that Nevada, and I've followed his career, seen what he's done in Denver, and this year with Pitt. And I just think of him as being this, like, you know, kind of pure outside speed rush kind of guy, pure pass rush kind of guy. And I know that he has done some things in coverage, but, you know, that's not how I think of him. And when I think of who he could replace that way, I think of actually Melvin Ingram, because Melvin Ingram, you know, was at this stage in his career, seems like a pass rush specialist.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew Van Ginkle, I don't think he is a pass rush specialist, especially in this defense. I think he does more things in this defense. And that's why I was thinking, okay, well, this seems like, cause you know, your right outside linebacker, outside speed rusher was more often than not, I think, Melvin Ingram. And now it's going to be, I think Malik Reed is going to be doing a lot of that. So that's, I don't know, I guess depending on where he's been. But in Denver, you know, that's kind of what he was doing, was that right outside speed rusher. And so I don't know. It's up for debate. I think you guys, y'all have healthy counterpoints and saying, well, you know, maybe this is Andrew Van Ginkle. He's gone. Forget it. And he probably is. But, you know, I think of him. I'm not sure if Melvin Ingram is actually going to be back now.
Yeah, I was told that, you know, he was really open to coming back, and, you know,
they all seem open to it, right?
Yeah, you know, the thing about Melvin Ingram, and first of all, Andrew Van Ginkle's taking visits. He's gallivanting about the AFC East again. So, by the way, these guys do understand they can go to, like, the Carolina or Denver, or, you know, I've heard LA has a really, really nice facilities. You know, you could go elsewhere. Right, like the Jets and Patriots and Bills.
Why does it always have to be inside the division?
Yeah, like, what's that about? Okay, and I know what Mike Gesicki's thinking. Okay, and it's not gonna work, Mike. Okay, I know what you're thinking. You think you're gonna replace Jonnu Smith? No, you're not. Okay,
I just really appreciated that, you know, Mike Gesicki is going to the Patriots now, and I was just seeing today, you know, a thing about how some Patriots players really thought that Bailey Zappe should have been starting over Mac Jones. And I thought, this is great, because, you know, he came out of Miami where everybody was picking on Tua Tagovailoa, and, you know, oh, should Tua be starting? Should it be someone else? You know, that stuff. And there was the Tua versus Fitzpatrick thing, and then that evolved. And now he steps right into New England where the same thing is happening.
Yeah.
And so, you know, good luck, buddy. And also kudos to the New England Patriots for looking at the Miami Dolphins pass offense that featured, you know, the zero run after catch abilities of Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki.
And say, and saying, that's what we need.
I want that for me. You know, like that's what I want. You know, it's like, really, you looked at that and you're like, give me some of that.
Well, unfortunately, the Bills are making very smart signings as of late, because they signed Damian Harris today. I love that signing for them. That's a good signing. And Devin Singletary is going where now?
Houston.
Houston. Yeah, Houston. The Texans are signing everybody. Like, they're going to make a serious run at 7-10. You know, like,
do you know how many snaps he had last year, though?
No.
Singletary?
How many?
He had like 750 snaps.
Wow. Yeah, remember Zach Moss fell out of favor, and then they traded him out, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, if I'd have to look at this to be sure, but like, I don't know. Like, I'm just saying that's got to be one of the leading among all running backs, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I believe
number
so.
Of snaps, total maybe, number of snaps.
Maybe McCaffrey is in the conversation. Maybe.
I mean, it's just. Yeah. No, I mean, well, I guess total snaps. Do you think he's in the conversation for total? I mean, if we're including, we're just doing regular season. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not postseason, because, you know, postseason figures into it too. But I, yeah, let's see. Total snaps for McCaffrey were, all right, well, gosh, McCaffrey had like over 1,000.
Yeah, I remember seeing him play a lot.
Oh yeah. Wait, no, that was no. I'm the wrong year. I'm sorry. That was almost there though. He's like over 900. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
That's insane. Yeah. I don't know, but Devin Singletary's up there. Like, he was practically a bell cow.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. They didn't like Zach Moss. Like, there was something wrong with Zach Moss.
There aren't bell cows in the NFL anymore. Yet Devin Singletary was.
Yeah.
Not exactly the guy you would expect.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we'll bitch about the offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
But a lot first, of bitching to be done there. So strap in.
Yeah. These words. Do you have a water leak and can't find where it's coming from? Are you dealing with water or mold damage in your home or business? Then call Water Cleanup of Florida at 954-579-0356 for immediate assistance. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, and their team is prepared to handle all types of leak detection issues, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. After the leak has been located and repaired, Water Cleanup of Florida will then clean, dry, and fully restore the damaged areas. Water Cleanup of Florida is fully licensed, insured, and certified to provide the one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. There is no need to bring in other contractors. They will handle the entire project from start to finish. Service areas include Miami, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356, or visit their website at WCUFL.com. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
And we're back. All right. Before we get into the offensive line, a couple of housekeeping notes. They brought back every single running back, but I am certain that they were kicking the tires on,
including Myles Gaskin,
which is odd.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, like I don't understand that one.
We can't get away from this guy.
He's haunting us. You know, I say that you go to a lot of these NFL events, and then you know, Gil Brandt is always haunting the proceedings. Yeah, Myles Gaskin haunts training camp. So, like 40 years from now, we'll be talking about, you know, great stories about these Miami Dolphins that ended up winning a Super Bowl. And we'll talk about, do you remember Myles Gaskin? Yeah, I remember him. Yeah, he used to haunt the facility. I used to see him out there, you know. I guess they really need somebody for David Long to tackle. I don't know. You know, he's not a fit. He was not a good player for this team, and they didn't want to play him. They didn't want to activate him, but he's back. But we're not going to bitch about RB4. Well,
given how he haunts the facilities, like, you know, that if you go into the bathroom and you turn the lights off and you say Myles Gaskin's name 3 times in front of the mirror, you'll feel something run directly into your back and fall down.
Yes, and I understand the fans that post those pictures of he gained 3 yards on this play, and all you see is him with the ball, and there's a gaping hole with like green, beautiful green grass. It looks like a golf course is in front of him, right? And and then the caption says he gained 3 yards on this play, and it's hard to figure out how the hell did he gain just 3 yards on this play, and it's precisely that he has no vision. He has no vision.
You know. I will say this, that I almost feel like a chart guy, a market chart guy, because I feel like we're making higher lows, because remember our lows used to be like Daniel Jones.
Yes.
Or sorry. No, Daniel Thomas.
Daniel Thomas.
Who am I talking about? Daniel Jones. That's a Giants problem.
That's the Giants.
Our lows used to be Daniel Thomas. Now our lows are like Myles Gaskin, which is, you know, I don't love Myles Gaskin, but it's not Daniel Thomas. It's not Daniel Thomas.
No, it's an improvement. We're making
higher lows.
Yes.
We're making higher lows and higher highs.
Yes. Do you think that if because man, the all the Vikings people that, you know, that I kind of trust, some of their bloggers and some of their podcasters, including some that have gone on their own on their shows, I trust what they say. They say any day. They keep threatening that Dalvin Cook is going to get cut any day now. It hasn't happened yet. It happens, right? Like he gets cut, we're placing a call. Like a call's getting placed, right?
It depends on what his asking price is. So
evidently, it's very high.
Some interesting housekeeping, though, you know, after everything because the Dolphins, I mean, a lot of stuff that they've done, you know, whether it's Jake Bailey or getting back this guy or that guy, signing back Duke.
Jake
Riley.
Bailey is the very odd and very rare revenge punter. He despises the New England Patriots.
All right. So
are you aware of that story?
Is he going to have a revenge? Is a punter? No, but I don't. I mean, do I really want to get into punter stories? I mean, I'm just not, just not there, man.
But he hates the Patriots, so he's going to put at least a couple inside of the 5-yard line against them.
Join the club. But I mean, the Dolphins have been doing like a bunch of small little signings that, you know, they signed back Kendall Lamb, and you're like, well, that's nothing except for the fact that he's like 31 years old, and so he is making the vet's minimum. So I think it's like a $1.2 million number or something like that this year, which isn't, you know, it's enough to be on the top 51, certainly.
And they have an infatuation with Jerron Christian. 3 times they've brought him back onto the team, and this time they give him $1 million.
That is so weird.
You know that I looked up some old Twitter posts of Jerron Christian from like 2019, and there's Chiefs fans penciling him in as the starting right tackle.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, go back and do the same with Kendall Lamb. I mean, he started whole seasons, you know. So, getting all these guys back anyway, the point of the matter is that they have only about like $6 million left under the cap, or if that, maybe less. So basically, you know, you're talking about, hey, they're going to go out and get Dalvin Cook right away or whatever. They're already at a point where in order to do anything else, they're going to have to get that extension rolled out to Christian Wilkins.
Yes.
Or to Connor Williams.
Or an Ogba trade.
Or to fire off an Ogba trade, or to fire off a Cedric Wilson trade. Like, mm-hmm. like those are your moves. Those are the moves that you have left. Otherwise, you're waiting until June. So, you know, we're singing, we're going to talk about the offensive line now because we're very upset. But when we're like, what else can you do here about the offensive line? We're taking that account because, you know, they're running out of room, and now they don't really have enough room to fire off a big round on a, you know, big name guy. Yeah. So what else are they going to do?
Yeah, they got work to do. If a player of opportunity comes up, they got work to do to just get that done.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you got to think they got to bring in a right tackle. They keep saying they're going to bring in a right tackle. They were going to work out George Fant, or they were looking at George Fant, one or the other. By the way, yeah. It's now impossible to see when people work out at the new facility because it used to be you could just park outside of the Davey facility and you just see the guys come in and you see them walk to the practice field and you're like, hey, that's George Fant. You know, you can't do that anymore because now they have like a little they have a private parking lot, so they could smuggle players into the facility and then work them out inside of the indoor facility, and you'll never see any of these guys. And the media, even if they're at the facility, will never see any of these guys. So we won't know if they're working anybody out. But I think they got to do something at that position. I think that they won't admit it, but I think I think there was a bad calculation made somewhere. I'm not saying that they were going to get in on Mike McGlinchey, and looking at that number, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with not giving Mike McGlinchey that money. Okay.
It was a big number.
It was a big number, and it probably keeps you out of the Ramsey thing. And if it doesn't keep you out of the Ramsey thing, it for sure keeps you out of, you know, maybe David Long. You never know. Okay. But it's a big number. I'm not too hot on it. Juwan Taylor, there was a thought there. He got a big giant contract as well.
Yeah, because he's moving a left tackle.
Yeah. So, you know, McGarry, now that trade, I don't know, that one, I mean, that signing is kind of attractive because he went for damn near nothing right back to Atlanta, right?
I don't know about nothing, but it was a doable contract, certainly. It was, if I recall, was an $11.5 million a year?
Something like that. We could look it up here.
Yeah, I got it. It's $11.5 million a year.
Okay, so he got pretty much every dime that was probably there for him. So,
well, the doable ones were that one. That was doable. Andrew Wiley at $8 million was doable.
Yeah, that's a good deal right there. And he went to the Commanders. Is that right?
Andrew Wiley, yes, he went to the Commanders. You got Trey Pipkins, who went back to the Chargers for $7 million. That wasn't my favorite option by any means, Trey Pipkins. So I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to bitch about that.
Yeah, I'm not too into buying him for $7 million.
But, you know, it really comes down to Mike McGlinchey for $17.5 million a year, or you know, or Caleb McGarry for $11.5 million, or Andrew Wiley for $8 million. Those are probably the ones that you're looking at being, you know, possibly upset over. But it's also just like, just looking at it like, okay, but what are they going to do? Like, what are they actually going to do here? You know? Because the options are running dry. The Chargers just released Matt Filer. And
I love him as a left guard.
He was their left guard. He was a great left guard. I love him. He's so stout. He's tall. He's big frame, big guy. Well, he played a lot of right tackle in his career at Pittsburgh before he went to the Chargers. He played a lot of left guard and right tackle for the Steelers. And the Chargers brought him over, and they're like, well, we don't need a right tackle. We need a left guard. So they make him a left guard. So he's been a standout left guard with the Chargers. He was supposed to be making, like, I think, $7 million this year or something like that. And so they were like, you know, we need the money, and they chopped him. He might move back to right tackle, you know. I watched tape of him at right tackle. He was good. He's got a hell of a punch. You know, when he punches you, these guys move, you know, and so I think that he's an option at right tackle. I think Cameron Fleming is an option at right tackle. We've talked about him in the past. I think probably his technique has never been more sound than what I saw this year. And you know, he's 31 years old, or maybe 30, or maybe he'll be 31 years old. I'm not sure, but he's been in the league for a while. And I think that, you know, his technique was probably as sound, and he was as good of a pass protector as anybody, you know, just about anybody on the list outside of Juwan Taylor. As far as results go. But then the other option, probably the best option outside of those two, is Billy Turner, who is at this stage, he's 31 or 32 years old, somewhere around there. He followed Butch Berry from Green Bay to Denver. He followed Butch Berry and Nathaniel Hackett from Green Bay to Denver. Had some injury issues last year. He's definitely a plus run blocker in this scheme because he's very athletic. But he was a minus pass protector last year in Denver. That's what I saw. I don't know what his numbers say, but that's what I saw in the film. Now, was that due to injuries of some sort, or is that just how he is nowadays? I don't really know the answer to that question.
You know what? I'll say this. I tend to look at Denver offensive linemen now because of the quarterback that they have, Russell Wilson, and give them the benefit of the doubt. Russell Wilson is not the most offensive line friendly quarterback that this league has had. So,
right.
You know, to look at Billy Turner, we're going to have to sit there and actually watch all of his games. And I know he had an injury history this past season. I know he had an injury. So, you know, that's a big red flag. 31 years old and had an injury. Oof.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying is at this stage of his career, is he going to get healthier than he was this, you know, in the last year, or is he
only if you're Tom Brady? Like,
yeah, so I you wonder where he is that way, and how much of a risk it would be to count on him, to count on a Billy Turner at right tackle. So, you know, yeah, there's some options. Another option, you know, I guess just worth mentioning maybe is Ty Nsekhe. I don't know if that's how you pronounce his last name, actually. He's ancient. He's like 37. But I'll be damned if you could watch the film of that guy and not be like, wow, you're like borderline top tier tackle. Like, still, like when he's out there, he's borderline top tier tackle. And he, you know, he's that good looking on a snap for snap basis. So he's ancient though. So, and that's not Chris Greer's style. So it's probably not worth mentioning, but, yeah, I mentioned it anyway. Taylor Lewan, he's, in addition to being, you know, physically gone through a whole lot, contemplating retirement and going into the podcast business and all that.
Yeah.
He said straight up, he's never going to play right tackle. Never. So forget that.
You think Donovan Smith might want to play right tackle?
Very doubtful. Career left tackle. You know,
he's also out there. Career. He's out there contemplating his future.
Right. He's a very long career, and he's played left tackle the entire time. very doubtful on that. You know, the guys that we keep coming back to, RFAs, restricted free agents, being Terrence Steele and Yosh Niemann. Terrence Steele coming off the ACL, MCL, but seems on good track to be ready for camp. Dallas Cowboys, they're going out there. They're trading for, like, Stephen Gilmore. Now they're trading for Brandon Cooks. And I'm like, you know what? They can't have a lot of maneuverability right now. There's no way from a salary cap standpoint.
They're poorly managed. Like, that's a poorly managed franchise. There's a talented team, good defense, good football team, but they're poorly managed.
So what's the – like, at this stage, we could put together something for Terrence Steele and give them, give them 5 days to be like, how the hell are we going to scare up some money to pay this? You know, considering what they've just done with acquiring guys. And, you know, I would put them to that test. I would. He's worth it. He's worth that second round pick. You're not going to get a better right tackle with that second round pick. You know, you might not even get a younger right tackle with that second round pick. He's still only 25. you're not going to do much better than that. I would jump all over that. I would be calling the Green Bay Packers and seeing what kind of compensation they want. To get them to agree to let Yosh Niemann go as a restricted free agent. He's got the second round tender, but you can still do some work out a sign and trade. If Green Bay is looking at that $4 million contract for that second round tender, and they're like, you know, we could really use that space. and at the same time, they know that Yosh Niemann is a valuable asset, but they don't need him. He's not starting anywhere on that line. He is a starter in the NFL. I'd be calling them and seeing if they'd accept one of the third rounder for him for a sign and trade. But those are the only places you can really go at that point, is one of those two restricted free agents, or Matt Filer or Cameron Fleming or Billy Turner.
There's one obvious one out there, okay? And –
Or George Fant, your guy. I don't trust George Fant at all.
But yeah, at right tackle, you know. But there was another name that was thrown out there, and you got to feel that there's some goodwill here built up over the years. But you know who wants to play football this year, right? Juwan James.
Oh, Jesus.
He's an effective player when he plays. The problem is he hasn't played football in 2 years, right? Like, did he even play last year?
He played. I have it. It was like, this is great on over
the. He won the starting right tackle job for the Ravens. Now there's something to be said there.
Yeah, and he played 2.2% of the snaps.
So the guy wins the job for the Ravens at right tackle, and then is immediately out. That's it.
Well, at left tackle. He started at left tackle.
He started at left tackle? Yeah. I didn't know that. You know he's only 30?
That's correct. He's currently only 30 years old. He played 24 snaps last year. And 63. He played 63 the year before. No, wow. Wait. Sorry. He played 24 snaps last year. Played zero in 2021. Played zero in 2020. And played 63 snaps in 2019. So in the last, how many seasons is that?
That is 4 seasons.
In the last 4 years, 4 NFL seasons combined, he has played 87 snaps.
Wow. And he's only 30. Do you think that it's just way too injured? Because, come on, man, you can't be thinking about the golf course at the age of 30, right?
Here's the danger with him. Everybody's going to be like, you know, hey, it's low risk, high reward. It's a matter of what you're counting on. It's a matter of opportunity cost, okay? Mm. If you're going to go out and get a Juwan James for the veterans minimum, And you know very well he could be, if you go into it with the mindset, this guy's probably going to get cut on the final cuts, you know? If you go into it with that mindset, I have no problem with it, because as long as you're not like sitting there like, well, we don't need to use our second rounder on a tackle because we got Juwan James and Austin Jackson. Saying we have Juwan James and Austin Jackson is the equivalent to me of saying we don't have a right tackle. We have an empty garbage can at right tackle.
You know, it's pretty hard to get around an empty garbage can, right? Like you have to kick it out of the
way. You know, it works in practice, you know, in drills.
Yes.
So, you know, basically we have, you know, if you're, oh, we have Austin Jackson at right tackle and, you know, he deserves a chance. He deserves a chance to compete, you know, and we have Juwan James, you know, hey, that's low risk, high reward. If he comes back, you know, that's great. That's no, you have those two. Those are your two guys. You have nothing. You have nothing.
Yeah.
You have nothing. You have the 32nd best right tackle situation in the NFL out of 32 teams.
How does that conversation even go? Like you talk to, like, come on, man. Like the guy's 30. Like he has to be thinking, I gotta go get a job. I gotta go get one of these, you know, a swing tackle job somewhere, rehabilitate my value and make a couple of dollars.
Well, that's his probably his angle is like, hey man, I'm as healthy as ever.
I'm alive.
If he actually is. Yeah, I'm alive. He'll probably try and say that he's as healthy as he's ever been right now. Currently,
he's in the best shape of his life.
Yeah, that's what they'll always say. DJ Fluker, your boy, is currently trying to pull that right now.
Well, his problem is that he's in too good of a shape. That's his.
Yeah.
Because remember, the last time that he was here, he mysteriously showed up on the pup list. Remember?
Yeah.
And I kept telling you, man, this guy looks like $1 million, man. I just saw him walk right past the weight room and I said, who the fuck is that? And I was told, that's DJ Fluker. Yeah, he slimmed down. And I'm like, holy shit, this guy's headed to the Hall of Fame. 2 days later, he was cut. Why? Popped for PEDs.
Yep.
So but, there's a reason why he looks so good.
Juwan James's angle is going to be like, hey, just give me the vets minimum, bring me to camp. And, you know, if I'm healthy enough to be on the roster, I'll be on your roster because you're not going to find that many people better than me. You know, and so yeah, he's got to be angling for that backup job, which is fine, but I don't think Miami's in the position to be that because they're looking for a starter at right tackle.
Hmm.
And so even if you end up with, well, if Juwan James earns the jobs, then he earns the job. Well, what happens there is you're putting a lot of eggs in his basket, and you know he's going to drop them. You know, which like
mash him, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know what I mean? Like that's, you can't do that. It's the disruption of, hey, we're heading into these games in this season thinking that this guy's our right tackle. And then you know for a fact that that's not going to be true for 15 out of the 17 games. You know, like there's just a whole lot of disruption involved in that. And it's not an opportunity cost. So that's the danger. I mean, I'd bring him to camp. If I'd signed Mike McGlinchey, I'd consider still signing Juwan James for a veteran minimum contract. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have Mike McGlinchey and Austin Jackson is currently penciled in as my starting right tackle, no, I'm probably not signing Juwan James. Because I'm almost afraid of the success story more than I'm afraid of the failure story.
Yeah. Now, speaking of a success story, Nobody did less work for $3 million on the planet last year than Eric Fisher. That man went to two practices. And I don't know what they're doing on the road as far as a practice, but I'm, you know, for an offensive lineman, but I'm pretty sure that it's just, you know, walkthrough stuff. You know, like, hey, you know, this is the play call. This is what we're doing here. But hey, man, that 1 week where he was in uniform at practice, those were heady days because we had him. He was going to be the starter at right tackle. Remember at one point we were thinking, man, he's going to be the starter at right tackle. Remember? Going into the Buffalo game. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, no, my foot's fucked up. Give me my $3.5 million.
I'm looking at the actual amount you know,
he,
on.
It begs the question: did he rob us?
Well, he made.
I'm getting kind of nervous. I don't. I expected his name to be called like within seconds of the bell sounding for free agency. I expected to hear, you know, Eric Fraser just signed 1 year, $2 million.
So according to OTC, he was paid against the salary cap. He was paid $850,000, but paid as dead money was an additional $2.0 million.
Nice.
So he made $2.8 million from us for those two practices.
They were great.
Isn't that crazy?
That's great practices, though.
Those must have been the highest goddamn quality practices I've ever seen.
Do you think that Steven Ross ever gets into those meetings and asks, what did you do with my money that I gave you for Eric Fisher? Like, you understand I don't enjoy
it. He better ask. Can somebody tell me why we gave Eric Fisher $3 million for two practices?
Yeah, right? Like, you gotta feel that Steven Ross sits down at his chair, probably at the head of the table, and says, I don't mind leaving $30 million in escrow for Jalen Ramsey. In fact, it makes me, you know, makes me feel good.
Okay? Yeah.
You know, especially every time you bring me another shiny toy, you know, Tyreek Hill is here. Okay. How much do you need? All right. Here's the money. But I don't like leaving $3 million checks in escrow for Eric Fisher. Okay. Please don't.
For two practices.
Yeah, I don't want to do
that. Who was injured when you signed him.
I'd rather buy a yacht, all right?
He was injured when you signed him, and the injury that kept him out of the rest of the year is the one that he entered with, I think.
Yeah, Steven Ross has to be thinking, man, this guy cost me a yacht, at least a yacht.
Yeah, basically.
You could buy a pretty nice yacht for $3 million. So, now all is forgiven if he re-signs and they get some use out of him this season. I don't know.
Again, there's a lot of Juwan James, you know, feel to that too.
Yeah.
Because how long has it been since we've seen Eric Fisher play football well? You know,
He didn't play last year. Yeah, it's basically 2020 because he didn't play last year, and then he was bad for the Colts.
Yeah, he was kind of bad for the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's basically been since 2020 we've seen him play well. He's also old, you know. He's 32 years old, and it's, you know, it's not gonna. He lasted two practices. You know, at what point do you just like, hey man, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me four times, shame on me.
Yeah,
I mean, because we did this, we seem to do this a lot lately. Because we had the Will Fuller thing, right?
Yeah, the Will Fuller thing, but that was because Jacoby Brissett maimed his finger.
Well, we had the Will Fuller thing. We had the Byron Jones thing. Teron Armstead was damn near another Will Fuller, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was told by his doctors to get season-ending surgery in week one. And that was damn
good on him to tell those doctors to go fuck themselves. I got a season to play here.
So we got
13 games to play.
The Will Fuller thing, the Teron Armstead thing, damn near didn't play any game, and you know, any full games for the Dolphins this year. There's the Byron Jones snag, the Eric Fisher snag, two practices for $3 million. I mean, I don't know, man. There's something going on with the way that the Dolphins sign people with injury risk. And I mean, other people, two naysayers are gonna say, you know, see, and that's why we said no to this fifth year option, or you know, that, or that's why these people were like, no, don't give Tua the fifth year option, but the Dolphins did anyway. Mm-hmm. But there's something to be said about because they're getting hurt by this, you know, by these injury risks.
Yeah, and it seems to happen every single year. Last year's example was Byron Jones.
Yeah.
You know? And as far as guys that are at risk this year, maybe a David Long is firmly in that category. Well, I mean, we signed him,
but again, it's like the Titans are acting like I've got a bunch of torn ACLs or something. You know, he's yeah. He doesn't have torn ACLs. You know, he had a hammy.
So, he had a hammy on a team that was semi-tanking. They didn't have their quarterback. They didn't have their superstar running back, and they were just staring at the Jaguars winning every single game, chasing them down. And their response was, "We'll go sign this Dobbs guy to play quarterback for us, Josh Dobbs, and he's gonna get us into the playoffs." And he damn near did, by the way, because they needed a fumble return for a touchdown to get into the playoffs. By the way, Pete Prisco. Okay, that's what the Jaguars needed to get into the playoffs: a fumble return for a touchdown against Josh Dobbs.
Also, just saying about David Long. I mean, he played over, I think, like 750 snaps last year, something like that. Landon Roberts played 700, like less than 700. I mean, we don't necessarily – I don't know that we needed a guy – we need a guy that's going to have 1,010 snaps like Jerome Baker did this year, you know? So I don't think he's – yeah, he's going to be in the starting every game, so to speak. But, you know, I think it might be enough snaps. I'm a little more concerned when it comes to, like, a Teron Armstead, knowing that he only averages about 10 games worth of play every year, and it's a 17-game season. that's more concerning for me because everybody's like, well, you know, hey, you can't have five great bringing it back to the offensive line. It's hard to get five great offensive linemen, right? You know, we've got Teron Armstead and Connor Williams and Robert Hunt, and Chris Greer deserves a lot of credit for that. And I'm like, okay, well, the Teron Armstead that you're talking about is basically a half of a player because he averages about 10 games instead of, you know, 17 games, right? And so you're basically talking about like kind of a half Pro Bowler, half, you know, all pro quality player. And then Connor Williams is a good center. And Robert Hunt is a okay to good guard. I'm not penciling him in for the Pro Bowl or anything like that.
I'm a bigger fan of his than you are.
Yeah. I like Robert Hunt a lot. He's been good. He's been good. I don't think, you know, I don't even know that he should be in a Pro Bowl yet. But basically you've got half of the Teron Armstead plus two pretty good players and then just abjectly awful at the other positions, yeah, including the half of the time when Teron Armstead is not on the field.
Yeah. Like, I don't mind if they're going to have like a battle royale for the left guard spot and just throw everybody, every surplus offensive lineman that we have, including Austin Jackson, and just throw them at left guard and say, one of you guys is going to come up and start. Okay. And then the rest are gone. Do something like that. But I think that they need more options at right tackle. I think it's obvious. Another one that's out there very quietly, he was one of the worst cuts that this team has made in the Chris Greer regime. And that was Jermaine Illuminor.
Oh, he's back with the Raiders.
Is he back with the Raiders? He went back to the Raiders?
Yep.
And he was out there. That was a terrible cut. They had him in camp. They had him in second team. They busted him down to third team. And he was gone on the first cut for the Miami Dolphins in 2020. And then, of course, he shows up on the Raiders, starts an entire season for a really good run game, and has been there ever since.
Well, I mean, you could make the case that he was a better right tackle than Robert Hunt was a right guard. And I'm not trying to pick on Robert Hunt. I'm just trying to contextualize how good of a, you know, of a run he did end up having with the Raiders. Jermaine did. And we have, you know, we had him, and I guarantee that he would have been, you know, our best tackle this year outside of Teron Armstead.
Yeah, and that was a mistake. And he's still only 28. Yeah, I can't wait to see. Like, they had to be thinking something up, because there's no way that they're going to go into this. Or even the draft. You can't go into the draft targeting a right tackle at 51. Like,
What do you think is going to happen? I'm just kidding. You know, what would you handicap?
I think George Fant's going to get a look.
You think they're going to assign George Fant?
Yeah, I think they bring in George Fant. He'll work out, and he's going to look good in the workout. He's healthy now, which is a plus. He wasn't last season.
No, he wasn't.
So I think he comes in, he works out, they look at him, and they're like, that's it. That's enough. And guess what? I think he probably takes Austin Jackson's job at right tackle.
Well, again, the empty garbage can would take Austin Jackson's job at right tackle.
I'm really concerned about Liam Eichenberg. I'm sorry. Like I understand he played good against the Detroit Lions until he got injured in that game as well.
You mean a left guard?
Yeah, left guard. Yeah, I don't like Liam Eichenberg. I'm concerned
about him as well.
I don't like Liam Eichenberg. I've never seen. Look, he had a couple of nice blocks against the Ravens. Okay,
uh-huh.
He had a couple of nice games in the middle of the season, and the rest was bad. Like there's some bad reps by Liam Eichenberg on tape. I'm not a fan.
I think there's a stage that you get to with young players, and it's probably some after they've finished up their second year, where the whole idea, hey, we want to give him a chance to compete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what's the worst thing that can happen? Why hasn't he earned the right to compete? Okay, what that means to me is that I'm intentionally going to not sign somebody that is so talented that it's no competition at all.
Yeah,
you know, like for example, everybody's like, well, why not let Austin Jackson compete? You know, and it's like, okay, well, what that means is you're not signing. Let's just choose Mike McGlinchey and pretend he didn't get $17.5 million, or let's say Caleb McGarry, because $11.5 million is more reasonable. What that means is we're not signing Caleb McGarry, because you're not signing Caleb McGarry to an $11.5 million contract to compete with your slapdick, you know, former first round guy who is just Edward Scissorhands out there on the football field. He's not competing, you know, he's not competing with Austin Jackson. Nobody's even going to say that, you know, this is your tackle. This is your right tackle. So what you're saying was, you know, when a guy, you know, give him the chance to compete, is you're saying, I'm going to stack the deck in his favor to give him a legitimate chance to be out there starting, even though he's not that good. Yeah. And that is so bass-ackwards to me. And so I think with young players like Liam Eichenberg, you know, listen, rookie year is a rookie year. But second year, something should have happened by now. And your chance to compete after your second year and nothing has happened yet, your chance to compete is going to be a chance to compete for a roster spot, not a starting job. Okay. And you know what? Injuries happen. You're going to end up on that field anyway. If you're good, you're going to end up on that field anyway and show us what you got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's always a fluid situation. Show us what you got. You got like, think about what Dallas had with Lyle Collins with Terrence Steele behind him. You know, Terrence Steele gets out there, showed him what he had. And then they were like, bye bye, Lyle Collins. You know, because yeah. That can always happen. If you're that good, it'll show up. You'll get that opportunity. You'll hit it out of the park. But I don't believe in taking away the competition to make it easier for you, you know, to legitimately end up on the field, even though you're bad. You know, I don't understand that. I don't understand well, we're going to give Liam Eichenberg a chance to compete for a start at left guard, and we're going to give Austin Jackson a chance to compete for the start at right tackle. And what that really means is we're going to intentionally sign nobody of consequence, because then they wouldn't be competing because there would be no competition.
Yeah, and we're going to have to leave it there. That's going to have to do it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.